In the name of God, the most gracious, the most merciful. Assalamu alaikum. Okay, I'm going to teach you greeting today. So whenever we run into each other in grocery store or you come to my place, you greet me with it and my smile will be even bigger. When I say assalamu alaikum, which means peace be upon you at all times. This is not a religious greeting. This is just craving for peace. So when I say assalamu alaikum, you respond by saying wa alaikum assalam. Wait, we haven't started yet. I'm just telling you what to do. Okay. Assalamu alaikum. Excellent. You are fast learners. Good. Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for having me here today. It's thrilling to be here. I am honored to be part of this. It's a pleasure to see all of you. I want to extend my thanks to Ron for inviting me here today to speak about being a Muslim woman. And about finding a common peaceful ground between all of us. My name is Lina. I am an Arab. I am a Palestinian refugee. I am an American. And I am a Muslim. But my topic today is not about being a Palestinian refugee or Arab or an American. My topic today is about being a Muslim woman. This topic is timely and serious. Not only because Islam and the Americans are out of touch with each other, but also because no issue looms larger among the Americans than the issue of women in Islam. Unfortunately, the media has been not only misrepresenting Islam, but also insulting the Muslims' beliefs and showing Islam as subjugating to women, and treat them as a second or third class citizens. In this presentation, I hope to provide some food for thought on issues about Islam and the Muslim women that have been dominating the Western media for a long time. I hope to give you a hint to what it's like to be a Muslim woman in America and shed some light on a new perspective and offer mainstream moderate point of view in effort to make Islam a little less foreign and distant to you. At the end of this presentation, you all can decide if what I say is convincing, uplifting, and settling. You all can decide if we are going to help each other to rescue Islam from the clutches of extremists. But please know that as a Muslim woman, I always encourage dialogue and further study into Islam. There are too many good and accurate sources from which true Islam can be researched and found. There are books written by Muslims and by converts to Islam, even some by non-Muslims, that reflects fairly on the Islamic religion. Please allow me to introduce you to the holy book, the Quran. This is my lifeblood and the beat of my heart that provides me with strength and energy. This holy book took me from a place of anger and resentment to a place of healing and peace. This is the only guidance that I rely on in all my conducts. This holy book teaches me to be the best person that I can. We as Muslims believe that this Quran, this holy book, is a record of the exact words revealed by God through the angel Gabriel to Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. It was memorized by the Prophet and dictated to his companions and written down by scripts. Not even one word, not one word of its 114 chapters has been changed ever 1400 years ago. So the Quran is in every detail a unique and miraculous text, which was revealed to Muhammad more than 14 centuries ago. This is the prime source of all Muslims' faith. If somebody tells you that I am a Muslim, but I don't read the Quran, don't believe them. Okay? This is where you go to. This is the source. This is the fountain. It contains a great deal of essential social rules which every society has to guarantee and ensure its individuals the right and security. These rules, and therefore the Quran, enable the Muslims to feel a sense of belonging, attachment, and tranquility. The Quran also deals with all subjects which concerns us as human beings: wisdom, doctrine, worship, and law. But its basic theme is the direct relationship between God and his creatures, males and females. Please notice that I said direct relationship. That means there will be no middleman involved. I like to remind you that I am not a scholar. My only support in what I'm doing today is the fact that I am but a humble practicing Muslim woman who researches the Quran and study it in both in English and in Arabic. And please let me assure you that it is impossible to translate the Quran perfectly. For the translation will never live up to the actual meanings or actual original. Only the meanings of the Quran can be translated to other languages, but the power and impact that the original verses carry cannot be duplicated in any other language. Whereas the Western media sees it as a book filled with violence and hate and abuse to women in particular, I see it as a book written by a loving, merciful, just, forgiving, and compassionate God. I want to recite a few verses from the Quran. These verses summarize a story that we all know, respect, and believe. It's chapter 20, verse 42 to 45. It is a dialogue between God and Moses. And here's what God is telling Moses, giving him a command. He says, "Oh, Moses, go you and your brother Aaron with my signs and slacken not either one of you in keeping me in your remembrance. Go both to Pharaoh, for he has indeed transgressed all bounds, but speak to him gently." Gently is highlighted and underlined and circulated. Perhaps he may take warning or fear Allah. So you both go to him and say, "Surely we are messengers sent by your Lord. Therefore, send out the children of Israel with us and do not torment them. Truly we have come from your Lord with a sign and please and peace to all who follow guidance." Reading this story in the powerful Arabic language, I cannot help but realize how caring, loving, and forgiving God is, even with Pharaoh. And he was one of the most tyrants of all times. This same loving, gentle, and just God has given me, as a Muslim woman, this Quran and has written down all my rights and responsibilities. Clear and simple. I can assure you that this mighty being has given me, as a Muslim woman, gifts beyond my wildest dreams and hope beyond my wildest hope. I love being a Muslim woman, and I am a Muslim by choice and not force. And if you only know the true and exact status that I have been given, believe me, even the Muslim men would want to be Muslim women. In this presentation and through this holy book, I will try to relate to you some of these rites and clear some of the common misconceptions that came to be associated with the Quran and Islam to give it a bad name. To me, there is no greater reward than making the American people of all faiths understand Islam, its loving beliefs, and peaceful practices. For I believe that all religions essentially preach love, peace, and caring for self and others. And any religion which is not a cause of love and unity and security is fraud. And we should not regard it as a religion. And if the religion becomes a cause of dislike, hatred, violence, and division, it would be better for the communities and civilizations to be without it. For I believe there will be no world peace without peace among the religions, no lasting peace among the religions without dialogue between the religions, and no dialogue between the religions without accurate knowledge of one another. To acknowledge, respect, and tolerate the differences of our faith is not just the way to happiness and inner happiness, but it's ultimately the way to God. With that being said, I want to tell you a short story. In the early 60s, a professor and his wife gave a dinner party on Friday evening. The guest list included Jews, Catholics, and Muslims. Guess what the entree was? The entree was ham. Of course, Jews and Muslims are forbidden by their religion to eat pork, and Roman Catholic of that period abstained from all meats on Fridays. Well, needless to say, it was not a happy party. Whether the choice of food was made in ignorance or arrogance doesn't really matter. The guests, because of their religions, were offended. That dinner party is all too frequently a copy, a miniature copy, of what happens in the larger world because of lack of accurate knowledge about matters related to religions. Ladies and gentlemen, when I decided to emigrate from my own country, my friends and family gathered to say their goodbyes and to wish me well in my search of a better life. After a long and exhausting trip of more than 20 hours, I pressed my face against the plane's window, excitedly. The Boeing 737 banked and began its descent in JFK. "Look, honey, look," I said in disbelief, gazing back and forth between the window and my husband in the next seat. "This is the moment I've been waiting for all of my life," I said, intoxicated with joy. My husband smiled, tears welled in his eyes. As I sat down holding my baby, in the lobby waiting patiently for my husband to get our luggage and immigration papers in order, flashes from my relative's conversation flooded my mind. This is what they said. "You will see streets paved with gold as soon as you get off the airplane. You will be given a shovel to collect hundreds of thousands of dollars off the road as soon as you set a foot on the American soil. You will be an instant millionaire. Oh, Lena, we are so jealous and envious because upon arrival in the United States, you and your husband and your infant child will live in a perfect country that has no flaws. You all live like the rest of the Americans, in mansions with expensive cars waiting for you in the driveway. You will have money and more money. You will not have servants, but you will have servants for your servants." They said, "Do not forget us when you have all that wealth." Moment passed while I was still hearing my relatives' voices echoing in the airport. We are ready, said my husband, interrupting the dreamy voices in my head and bringing me back to the airport lobby. Being so young and naive, I couldn't wait to see the images that my relatives have painted for me. Holding my infant son so tightly, I walked with my husband for the first time onto the American soil. New York was New York. Busy, noisy, and crowded. Swarms of people here and there, rushing, hollering, cursing, and swearing words I have never heard before. The homeless men and women and the panhandlers were everywhere. I tried to examine my surroundings, but certainly I did not see streets paved with gold, nor was I given a shovel to collect hundreds of thousands of dollars off the street. As the cab sped toward Lower Manhattan, I looked with great joy at the skyscrapers. My eyes rested on the Lady of Liberty, holding the torch of freedom. I was captivated by her image, standing so proud, so strong, so empowered, and felt entirely at home. My heart rejoiced when I realized that she was lighting the path to freedom through peace and not violence. I was shocked on how the Lady of Liberty is resonating with my own Islamic traditions, which call for love, life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. I instantly discarded my relatives' information about America and their wishful thinking about the worldly wealth, and decided to develop my own approach to seeing America. It was a quiet struggle to start over in an unfamiliar, strange world, not knowing that I'll ever return to my homeland was agonizing. And unless you are an immigrant yourself, it will be hard to precisely measure the daunting fear that crept into our hearts by leaving behind everything familiar and dear to us. But I learned that true understanding cannot be achieved without real world experience. And the important things in life are visible only to the heart. I still get teary-eyed thinking about my homeland, particularly with all the atrocities done in the name of Islam. Ladies and gentlemen, the form of media which reaches most people every day is television. Therefore, it has the power to communicate with and influence people at all levels of society. Television offers a source of information which viewers often accept as factual, and thus use it as a basis to form their own ideas. And that's exactly what happened with my relatives. They were crazy in love with America. As a matter of fact, everyone I know from the Arab world, from the Muslim world, is crazy in love with America. And they form their ideas about living in the States according to what they see on television and through the lenses of the actors and actresses of Hollywood and soap operas. With regards to Islam and the Muslim woman, this is exactly the case. The whole Western debate about the Muslim woman is a dishonest one. Just like Hollywood, which offers one type of Americans to the others, there's only one type of Muslims offered on TV to the American people, and that is the violent religious fanatics who oppress women and commit atrocities in the name of the religion. Yes, the Americans and the Western media in general see the Muslim women through the lenses of Taliban, ISIS, and the backward fanatics who harbor so much hate to themselves, to their own kind, let alone for the Muslim women. I think that condemning the entire faith because of the actions of those fanatics is not a productive exercise. Being a Muslim woman, it is this misrepresentation that hurts me the most. With no insight into the real Islam, Journalists and writers condemned the religion's attitude to Muslim women. In newspapers, magazine articles, and on TV in general, Muslim women are portrayed as being weak, as submissive, which they think that it's a male religion. Women who choose to cover themselves are pitied and are thought the victim of a male religion. However, for the vast majority of Muslim women, nothing could be further from the truth. Because and despite the beliefs advocated by the media, our religion does not offer us a lower status than men, as the Quran clearly illustrated in chapter 2, verse 228. And for women, our rights over the men, similar to those of men or men over the women. Before I start pointing out the rights and accurate status of the Muslim woman according to the Quran, I want to ask you a few questions. And I want you to keep pondering upon them until the end of this presentation. If Islam is subjugating to women and offering them a lower status, why is it that so many women who have been brought up in America are willing to reject their liberty and independence to embrace a religion that supposedly oppressed them and is widely assumed to be harmful and subjugating to them? Can Islam be harmful to women and yet appeal to women? Can Islam lower the status of women and still have more women embracing it as their way of life than men? Isn't it ironic that most American converts are women? Given the widespread view that Islam treats them poorly, please keep in mind that in the United States, women converts outnumber men by 4 to 1. So who are those Muslim women? Why are they portrayed as subservients and submissive, although they have been given rights more than any woman throughout history? Does Islam oppress them and treat them with contempt and as a second-class citizens? In talking about Islam and women, it is customary to begin with a survey of women before the birth of Islam. The general condition in the Arabia in that period was very dark. Arabia was a country without a government. Every tribe claimed authority and considered itself to be independent unity. In fact, there was no law except the law of jungle. At that period, female infanticide was rampant. Women's sole purpose was to serve men. They were nothing but commodity that is bought and sold and tortured and beat, with neither mercy nor feeling of belonging to humanity. In that era of ignorance and complete darkness, a prophet was born. His name was Muhammad. In his search of light that would melt away all the surrounding darkness, a remarkable revelation was sent down unto him by God through the angel Gabriel. The first command was to worship none other than God Almighty, and the second command was to stop killing the female babies. And in the Quran it says, we decreed that whoever kills a soul, unless for a soul or a corruption in the land, it is as he had slain the whole mankind. And whoever saves one, it is as if he had saved mankind entirely. Ladies and gentlemen, Islam has not come to disadvantage women, but in fact has come to elevate and restore the dignity of women ever since 1400 years ago. When women in many parts of the world, and especially in the Western societies, were considered objects that are owned and with little to no rights in the society they live in, Islam gave the women all rights. Unfortunately, today, people have been misled to think that Islam is a religion of terror and oppression, and that Islam denies women equal rights. This is the most misunderstood issue in Islam and the Quran. For Prophet Muhammad championed women's rights. He had never said in all of his sayings anything about discriminating women, nor anything about confining them to their own homes, or keep them covered from head to toe. The reason why Muslim women should dress modestly when going out of their homes is that they may be recognized as believing women and be differentiated from streetwalkers. The purpose of that verse was not to confine women to their homes, but to make it safe for them to go about their daily business without attracting unsavory attention. The Quran does not suggest that women should be kept apart from the world of men. On the contrary, the Quran insists on the full participation of women in society, education, and in all religious practices. But once again, the words of the Quran and the Prophet got twisted by the radicals who made up culture, customs, and mixed it up with the Islamic traditions to serve their own political agendas. While living in my own country, I saw and experienced firsthand how the made-up culture by extremists can override religion and how the uneducated people adopt it as if it is a religion. I saw how Muslim extremists consider themselves as if they have the license to declare whatever they think is permissible, although it's not be allowed by God, and forbid what he may have allowed. Those extremists think with their narrow minds that they have the ownership of Islam and the Quran. I consider myself incredibly blessed and fortunate to have a loving and open-minded Muslim husband who gave me the wings to fly and discover Islam again. I am privileged and grateful to be a native Arabic speaker. Otherwise, I would never have been able to understand the Holy Quran and would never have been able to differentiate between the wise commands of God and the made-up orders of men who twisted God's commands and misused the text in the Quran. Ladies and gentlemen, to conclude my presentation, I would like to thank you so very much for the time and effort spent on listening to me. And I also would like to say that true understanding cannot be achieved without accurate knowledge. I believe that if anyone wishing to understand Islam must first separate the religion from the cultural norms and styles of a society. An objective person who is looking to study Islam as a religion should do so by studying it on its own merits and qualities as a fully developed system. The behavior and courses of action of certain individuals, groups, countries, or even governments must not influence such a person. I also believe that only through values and the respect of divine laws can we hope to achieve the ideal of a secure world free of terrorism. Together we should be able to reject the extreme man-made laws that strip humans from their human rights. We need to stop people who abuse the religion of God and take God's name in vain. We need to oppose those who would brutalize women in the name of the Quran, although they don't even make the effort to read the Quran, so that those who would abuse them and misuse it realize that they have no success and no headway. Unfortunately, some Muslim countries and societies today lack the Islamic value and have strayed away from the teaching of the Quran. And some of you might rightly ask, why do we see so many Muslim societies lacking those values that the Quran teaches? And I say that everyone can be a mother or a father. But if the father or the mother don't turn out to be the good father or the good mother, then it's not the fatherhood or the motherhood that we would blame. Similarly, Islam. Islam is a rule and order. A Muslim who does not act according to that rule and order then by all means, it's not Islam that we should blame. We serve the same God, and we worship the same God. We should find a common ground and not let the extremists win by distracting us from getting along with one another, even when we have different ideas, approaches, and languages. We can and we must work together. We can and we must listen to one another. And we can and we must find that common ground. I, for one, strive every single day to enter more deeply into my home here in the States. I strive daily to discover the meaning and purposes which lies there. I strive daily to build peace for generations to come. But we are called to enter into one another's world with compassion, respect, and with understanding, and with great desire for unity, the unity of people of all ages, of all backgrounds, and all beliefs. Thank you. It's an honor. Thank you so much. Assalamu alaikum.